Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning again, everybody. I guess good afternoon if you live in the Eastern time zone. Appreciate you listening to this program. It's called Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Wesley, and Abe left and Fred left. And that leaves us with Steve Paisley-Jordahl.
You got the leftovers.
But you're not on the left, are you, Steve?
No, sir. I'm on your right.
Okay. Well,
Ed's on your left.
We throw lefties out. So, anyway, good to see you again.
Thank you. I got to ask you, Tim, you know that your staff works really hard for you, right? They're late hours. They're always in the office. But I think we need to give them some downtime. We need to give them maybe a movie night or something, because I was passing the popcorn cooler, and here's what I heard from the debate there at the pop around the popcorn cooler was...
What's the popcorn cooler?
The popcorn cooler.
Yeah,
instead of the water cooler?
Is that a Colorado thing?
Yeah, no, it's an AFA thing. It's where people have their discussions.
Their conversations
around the popcorn cooler.
Oh, I got you. Okay, never mind. Sorry, not tracking with you. I am now. Go ahead.
Well, the question was, is Field of Dreams a movie version of the book Catcher in the Rye? I thought, no.
Steve, that was a long way to go for a joke.
Yeah,
that was the real conversation.
Are you serious? They were actually having it down the hallway?
They might have been having some fun with it, but that was the conversation down the hallway.
Was that J.J. and Wesley?
No, it wasn't either one of those. I'm not going to say who that was.
Sounds like a J.J. joke, right?
It absolutely does. Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. We got the sad story nationally. Yeah. We didn't even talk about this. We should have in the first hour. What's happened in Louisville, Kentucky yesterday?
Yeah, there was a plane crash in Louisville, Kentucky. A UPS cargo plane carrying three crew members crashed on takeoff. It was headed for Hawaii, loaded with fuel, and it never made it much past the runway. According to reports, the port engine, which would be the left side looking forward, looked to have separated entirely during takeoff, and then this is what I'm reading. Early reports indicate the mechanics may have serviced the port engine that day. That does not look good. Big, huge fireball because it was loaded with fuel. It spread over a business area with a lot of businesses. Fortunately, it was late enough at night that they were mostly closed. Nine people dead, including the crew on the plane, and another 11 injured. It was a McDonnell
Douglas.
Nine people
died because the fire hit beyond the airport?
Three people on the plane, and there were six on the ground.
Oh, okay.
And injured another 11. It was a McDonnell Douglas MD-11. And there were several. If you look, there are several videos of the horrific crash.
Yeah, I've seen some of the videos, and that fireball, of course, this is just the way it is. If you've got a plane with, you know, full complement of jet fuel, it's not the kind of thing that starts small and then spreads where you have a chance. There is just a tremendous fireball, and it engulfs everything.
Yeah.
They died probably immediately.
Most people know this, but those who don't, Louisville is the international headquarters for, at least the national headquarters, but their corporate offices are located in Louisville.
UPS.
And so their flights, their flights for their cargo and packages and everything go to Louisville and then go out from Louisville.
So I believe FedEx is out of Memphis. I think.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
And
FedEx is out of Memphis. Same thing.
Yeah.
Everything flies into Memphis on FedEx, and everything flies out. But and at night where we live, you can see the planes coming in.
Yeah.
From to go to Memphis. But in Louisville, yeah, that's the headquarters for UPS.
Yeah. So, this tragic,
it's very tragic, very sad. And this fireball from the plane, as you say, Ed, it had a full tank of gas because it was on its way to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
So anyway, go ahead.
All right. There are articles of impeachment that have been filed against Judge James Boasberg. Does that name sound familiar to anybody? James Boasberg was assigned a remarkable number of politically consequential cases, including the Arctic Frost January 6th investigation. In fact, Eric Schmidt, who filed the articles of impeachment, called the number of major rulings assigned to Boasberg a statistical impossibility. So he has been, this is a man at the center of a lot of the political strife in the courts, a lot of the lawfare accusations by Republicans, and now he has been served with articles of impeachment. And so as we found out this morning, that will go, it once they're filed, the House will have a vote. If all the Republicans vote, it's a majority. If a majority votes in the House, then it is taken over to the Senate, where they have a trial that is presided by John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. A two-thirds majority will have to vote to remove him from office. Unlikely to happen because there's not that kind of a Republican majority in the Senate.
I'm sure Democrats in the Senate they have no problem with Arctic Frost or anything else that has happened. Certainly nothing that was directed towards President Trump. You're not going to get two-thirds in the Senate. As we talked about this morning, though, in our story meeting, I do think it's important that Republicans do their job in the House of Representatives. If they believe there is clear indication that this Judge Boasberg was tainted in terms of his judicial responsibilities and used his power and authority to help one party go after the other political party, then Republicans, regardless of what the chances are in the Senate, I think they need to return a guilty verdict if that's where the evidence leads them. And it's in other words, you sometimes you got to do the right thing and do your duty, even if you know it's not going to ultimately wind up in this judge being removed from the bench.
That's my heart, Ed.
Yeah, well, I no, could have had
the,
some.
Your optimistic view of mankind there was just so touching.
There's kind of a Jimmy Stewart feel to it, right? Yeah, Mr. It Smith goes to Washington.
He's balancing himself out because he was positive in the first hour.
Yes.
You brought the good news.
Right.
And now you're bringing us back up or down? Which one?
I'm bringing us to reality.
Oh, reality. Okay.
Democrats are not going to convict one of their own.
Right. This is not going to happen.
This judge is one of theirs.
Next story.
All right. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins is describing the Supplementary Nutrition and
Assistance
Program, SNAP, otherwise known as food stamps, as bloated, broken, and dysfunctional and corrupt. And in fact, she's saying so publicly. Let's listen to cut 16.
We sent letters to every governor in America being very clear that no illegal aliens can use SNAP. Zero, zero, zero. We increased almost 40% on this program in just a couple of years under the Biden administration. Of course, we know they were trying to buy the election, but that's a conversation for another time. In that data, we've studied about $100 billion in spend. We have found thousands and thousands of illegal use of the EBT card. We have been moving people off of SNAP. We've got almost 700,000 people, I think, we've moved off just since the president took office. We've arrested about 118 people. That we found about 5,000 people that are dead who are still getting benefits. Like, it is time to drastically reform this program so that we can make sure that those who are truly needy, truly vulnerable, are getting what they need and the rest of the corruption goes away and we can serve the American taxpayer.
Again, that's just a great outlook on life right there. I appreciate that. Reforming SNAP. I appreciate that.
So are you just having fun?
You know
with
what?
This?
I shouldn't be so cynical. I shouldn't be. She's right. I agree with her. And maybe something can be done. But as long as our country's so divided, 50-50, it's hard to get anything like that done.
Now that is true.
And also, Republicans are uneasy oftentimes about using the words reform in terms of federal government programs. Uneasy, or they don't even want to talk about it too much, because the minute they start discussing this, the Democrats just and the media just bludgeon them with they want to cut your benefits off, whatever it may be, and it works. That worked, you know, roll grandma off the cliff.
Right.
So take
away your social
so,
security.
So if you
start, you're opposed to funding the military. They've used that one too in the past during the shutdowns. They would say, well, the Republicans don't want to fund the military.
Well, they can't say that this time because they have been.
Yeah, I know that this is their new one.
Yeah.
What they really exploit people's feelings on, though, are the social programs. For example, right. they're going to say, if the Republicans say, okay, we need to reform SNAP because there's too much abuse, they're going to say, see, the Republicans want to starve people out. They don't want to give them their money for food.
Well, this is the weird thing about this is there's real fear on the part of people who are dependent on SNAP. We've all been reading stories of people who get $2,000 worth, for whatever number of people in the family, of SNAP benefits.
A month?
Yeah, a month. If it's like a family of whatever, four, you know, how many kids they have. And
Dad's considering it.
Well, here's the thing.
Thinking about it.
If you are already dependent on that, and then you're told we're cutting that off, you are telling people who have no other source of income to buy food, you can't eat this month. Now, what I'm saying is the real problem here is that you have allowed people to become dependent on SNAP who could be working. And once you get people who are dependent upon government handouts, they're going to vote for you if you say you're going to lose the benefits.
Have you you've seen pictures of actual starving people in Africa or whatever with the distended bellies and these gaunt figures? And can you imagine, is it even possible to imagine anyone in the United States, given the charities, the food banks, the
churches,
actually dying or suffering a hunger in this country? No, I don't think so. I think there's plenty of stuff to go around. And if you look at the people that the Democrats are putting up as recipients of these, I'll just say that most of them don't look like they've missed many meals.
Yeah.
And this is the politics that they're playing with it. This is, again, from Gina Rollins. Brooke Rollins. She said, the Democrat Party has turned its back on working Americans and built its entire strategy around protecting illegal aliens, because she says there's a lot of illegals on food stamps here. They know that if the handouts stop, these illegals will go back home and the Democrats will lose 20-plus seats in the next census.
Who said that?
This is Brooke Rollins, the Secretary of Agriculture, who is wanting to clean up the rolls.
I got you. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve Jordahl bringing the news to us. What's your next story, Steve?
Were you guys fans of Dilbert back in the day in the 90s?
Yes. Sure.
Great comic series. Its author, his name is Scott Adams. He was suffering from an aggressive form, he says, of prostate cancer, metastatic prostate cancer. He put a tweet out over the weekend, this last weekend, that said that he needs some experimental medicine. It's called Pluvicto, and it is for people who have gone through the radio chemotherapy, and it hasn't worked. And so this is kind of a last-ditch effort, and it's been approved, but he was having problems getting it from his provider in Northern California, so he gave an appeal to President Trump. Please, can you intervene so that I can get my medication? President has. It looks like he's getting the medication. Of course, it's too early to find out how effective it's going to be. But Scott Adams saying in his tweet, he's going fast. He's declining rapidly, is what he said. And so that's where Scott Adams is at. He has been very public of late. He was late in, he kept this to himself for years, a number of years, but he revealed in May that he had the metastatic prostate cancer, and he's been kind of chronicling that journey since. Mm.
Well, we know a lot of people that have...
Mm-hmm. Very common. It's a common form of cancer for men, prostate cancer. That's why it's imperative that you get an annual checkup where they can do a blood test and can determine. And you need to request a, what's it called,
PSA test?
Yeah, which they, that can be blood test. That can be a test to determine whether or not you have, you need to do further research to see if you have prostate cancer.
Starting point.
Yeah. If you catch prostate cancer early enough, you know, your chances of dealing with it are extremely well and being healed from it.
There are various forms of prostate cancer. Yeah. There are different types. The most common is slow-growing and really might not even require any emergency
steps. It doesn't kill you before you die of other natural causes.
Depending on how old
you are. I know somebody going through that right now. The doctor told him, well, you know, yeah, you got prostate cancer, but... It's slow growth, so we're just going to watch it.
My father-in-law had it. They called it smoldering.
Smoldering?
Smoldering cancer, which is, you're going to die of natural causes. Right. It's going to be 20 years.
They say every man who lives long enough is going to get prostate cancer.
However, there are some more aggressive, rarer types of highly aggressive and quick-spreading prostate cancer, and we don't know which kind Scott Adams had. Right. But it's still, the advice is well taken. Get a checkup. Mm. I would like to bid a fond farewell, if I may, to one of the most woke magazines in our entire nation.
Yeah, please do.
Teen Vogue is being absorbed into the larger Vogue magazine. It will not stand on its own anymore. After 22 years, publisher Condé Nast said they've laid off half of the staff.
For Teen Vogue.
This was one of the most liberal, pro-abortion. It was the one where if you were ever going to have, and this is aimed at young teen girls.
Teenage, yeah.
And if you're ever going to have, this is the kind of magazine that would publish graphically sexual articles and stuff. They what did them in, however, according to this article that I'm reading, which is in the Daily Mail, is two articles. One they did on Antifa, and one they did on a woke kind of article. The Antifa one was titled, "Here's What Antifa is Really Trying to Do," and they summarized it as saying, "Antifa grows out of a larger revolutionary politics that aspires towards creating a better world. But the primary motivation is to stop racists from organizing," which is a gross misstatement about what Antifa is about. They're disaffected.
Yeah. All those who are out there listening to us who subscribe to Teen Vogue, we just wanted you to be aware that they are cutting their staff. And so expect the articles to be a lot shorter.
You know, if you want, we have a magazine we could send you.
Yeah,
to replace it.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different worldview.
Just a little bit.
Being expressed. Hey, I want to talk about, you're listening to today's issues. I wanted to inject another question here.
Yeah.
None of us are economists, but we do.
We say that about a lot. We're not a lot.
Well, we say that about a lot of topics. I mean, I am a meteorologist.
That's right. But
I'm an amateur. It's meteorologist, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we do know what you're saying.
Okay, well,
we absolutely know.
I went to a fast food restaurant earlier this morning to get my wife a sausage and egg biscuit. Yes, she eats pork.
Right.
I just want to get that out there. Sausage and egg, not often, but she does.
Right.
But the Bible says we can. Am I right?
The New Testament.
It doesn't say we can't.
Right.
So I think we're in agreement.
Okay. I want to move on past that. But anyway, I got a sausage and egg biscuit and a large Diet Coke. Drive-through line. I get up to the window.
I'll be tent.
And I get my credit card out, because now at fast food places, you can't get by with $5. It was $9.05.
What?
That's what I said. Yeah. I told the lady, with all due respect, and don't take this personally, I said, I ain't paying that. So I said, you and I can negotiate a price here, or I'm going to sit right here and I'm not moving from the line here.
A bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit and a...
No, it didn't even have cheese. Just a bacon and egg biscuit.
Cheese would have put it
over
10 bucks.
Cheese would have put it over 10 bucks. Now, do you think I need to go look at that ticket?
You need to look at the receipt. I think they charged you for...
No, that's right.
What?
Is that right, Wesley?
Yeah, right, because a large, you got a large Coke. Or large
Diet Coke and a sausage and egg biscuit was $9.05. And I don't normally pay attention to things like this, you know, because I have other things that are more important to think about, college football, you know, things of that nature.
You're an empty nest.
But I just usually hand the card. I don't even think about what I paid. But she said $9.05, and I thought to myself, are prices going up on everything to where it's just not going to be? When are we going to reach the point of no return in terms of people cannot afford to?
Yeah.
Now, I voluntarily went to that restaurant. I didn't. Nobody made me go. So, how long are people going to pay for things at this kind of
I hope I'm wrong, but I feel like that's one thing that the Trump administration, now how much they can do about it, I don't know, but they need to, I feel like we need to focus more of our energy than we have been on.
What about the price of houses? Have you seen the price of houses?
Yeah, it's insane.
How much they've gone up nationally?
Yeah.
I have not.
I've got two questions, though, on the hamburger. First of all, if you stayed in the drive-thru lane, Wesley, did you have to post his bail after the trespassing charges?
Did
you think about paying for him with your SNAP card?
Well, no, I didn't have it.
Oh.
You didn't have it on
left
you?
It, I didn't
have
it, home,
it on
huh?
me. No.
But I saw your brain spinning when he said that some people get up to $2,000 a month.
Oh, let me clarify that. It's only in certain states where it can get up that high. I did look this up, and I do want to make sure that I let our listeners know the truth. So it's only in certain states. In Alaska, you can get up to $19.95, almost $2,000.
A person?
No, for a family of four.
Okay.
And Hawaii, $16.89, but most are not that high. So I do want to clarify this. I think some of what I'm reading here, it's the most you can get for a family of four is about close to $1,000.
Okay, so Allison and I, we built our house 10 years ago.
Okay.
And we were looking at you know how you can get a real estate
appraisal?
You can get a real estate magazine while you eat dinner and just peruse it. They have them out at different restaurants. And our house has gone up 40%.
Yeah.
In 10 years?
In 10 years. The price of what we could get for our home today is 40. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is 40. It's almost. Well, I take that back. I misquote. It's like almost doubled.
So here's another way of looking at it. We've been in our house for 8 years, and if we were to build again, we have no equity.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So we'll see y'all tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.
That's what we're saying.